Show hours are Tuesday 9 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 8:30, Thursday 10 to 4. Parking's free. More information online at WVAExpo.com.
98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. 8:04, Mid-Columbia Today on a Thursday, the 30th of October. It's a weird Thursday for me because we have football tonight. So I've said this all week. My schedule is completely thrown off at this point. And then tomorrow morning, I'm going to be a real thrill. I guarantee you that after the game tonight. But then again, on Friday, then I don't have to do a game Friday night. So I guess that's the upside. I get to go on my little trip earlier. But anyway, here's what we're doing this morning. First part of the show, Lisa Commander, Hood River County History Museum, going to be here. Actually, she is here. She's in studio. She's right next to me. And we're going to talk about a few things going on. Clearly, they've got a book club event going on this afternoon. And then the second half of the show, Miriam Sturette and Sarah Kellum is going to join us from Mid-Columbia Community Action. They are going to be showing at the Granada Theater in the Dalles next week. The Mid-Columbia Houseless Collaborative is going to be doing this. A free community screening of No Place to Grow Old. It's a documentary film that captures the growing crisis of older adults aging into houselessness. So we're going to talk about that issue for a few minutes with Miriam and Sarah. So that's all coming up on Mid-Columbia Today. But first, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1912, Vice President James Sherman, running for a second term of office with President William Howard Taft, died 6 days before Election Day. 1938, the radio play The War of the Worlds, starring Orson Welles, aired on the CBS radio network and apparently caused some consternation. 1961, the Soviet Union tested a hydrogen bomb, the Tsar Bomba, with a force estimated at about 50 megatons, over 3,500 times that of the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima. 1972, 45 people were killed when an Illinois Central Gulf commuter train was struck from behind by another train on Chicago's south side. This day in 1974, Muhammad Ali knocked out George Foreman in the eighth round of a scheduled 15-round bout known as the Rumble in the Jungle in in the Congo. I don't know how to pronounce the town. It was then Zaire. I remember listening to this on the radio. To regain his world heavyweight title. 1975, the New York Daily News ran the headline, Ford the City dropped dead, a day after President Gerald Ford said he would veto any proposed federal bailout of New York City. 1995, by a razor-thin vote of 50.6% to 49.4%, Federalists prevailed over Separatists in the Quebec secession referendum. 2005, the late Rosa Parks became the first woman to lie in honor in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. President George W. Bush and congressional leaders paused to lay a wreath. And in 2018, notorious gangster James Whitey Bulger was found beaten to death at a federal prison in West Virginia. The 89-year-old former Boston crime boss and longtime FBI informant had been transferred there just hours earlier. Days for today, it is checklist day today. It's also National Publicist Day, National Speak Up for Service Day, which is a good thing. It's also Haunted Refrigerator Night tonight, the night before Halloween. Apparently this calls on all of us to look in the back of our refrigerator and figure out what's back there. And it might be scarier than anything you can conjure up for Halloween. Our food for today, it's Pumpkin Bread Day today. It is Buy a Donut Day today. Specifically, you're supposed to buy one, apparently. It doesn't say anything about eating it, just buy it. And it's also National Candy Corn Day today. For those of you who are into candy corn, I can't say that I am, but enjoy, if that's what you're looking for. But that's what we got. For what it's worth, which may not be a whole lot, 8:08 in the morning, we'll come back with Lisa Commander right after this.
At the Springs at Mill Creek Assisted Living Community, we believe in living with purpose and enjoying life to its fullest. Nestled at 1201 West 10th Street, The Dalles, our community offers more than just a place to stay. Imagine dining on your schedule from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., choosing your meals from a full menu that suits your taste and lifestyle. Here, every day is an opportunity to thrive, connect, and embrace the joys of life. Discover a vibrant community where you decide how to spend your day. Visit the Springs at Mill Creek because your best life is waiting.
Right now, our world feels divided. But out here, we have so much in common. We fish the same waters, roam the same fields, raise families under the same open sky. Out here, there's no left or right. We all share a love of wildlife and wild places. But now, the animals we love and the lands we treasure are threatened. Gone, unless we defend them. This isn't about right or wrong. It's about standing together. Because up to 1 million species face extinction unless we unite and act to save them. We are their last line of defense. We are defenders of wildlife. Join us as we band together to protect our wildlife and wild places. Because in our love for what we share, we are closer than you think. Be a wildlife defender. Learn more at defenders.org.
Chronic absenteeism is on the rise.
Sophia A, absent.
Julio M, absent.
These absences are often due to the absence of crucial needs, like food, transportation, and healthcare.
Olivia H, absent.
Preston L, absent.
But site coordinators from communities and schools connect kids to the resources they need so they show up prepared and ready to learn.
Jacob O,
present.
Visit communitiesandschools.org. Being present matters.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And welcome back. It is 8:11 in the morning of Mid-Columbia Today. Lisa Commander is here from the History Museum of Hood River County. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Mark. Good to see you again.
Well, good to see you. Good to have you in here.
You bet. It's always fun to be here.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit first about, you've got a book club, which I did not realize you had a book club.
This is our first one.
That's probably why I don't realize
That's right.
And it's called, it's the Spill the Tea Museum Book Club.
Isn't that great?
Well, I take it you guys are going to have tea with all this.
We're going to have tea with this, yes, because it just seemed the appropriate thing to do at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But now we're going to talk about a great book. And so there we go.
This is going to be on Thursdays, it looks like, from 3 to 4:30, once a month.
Once a month. We're just doing three sessions for this particular book.
So what is the book you guys are going to spotlight?
So the book is called Saving Andiamo, and it's by local author Cassie A.H. Moore. Mm. And it is an adventure novel set in the 1920s. The heroine in the story is a 18 to 22-year-old young lady who meets a group of people who are traveling around the world in a Model T. Yeah. So this is in the 1920s when most people don't drive, and especially not women. And so it's got a pretty good storyline. It starts in Europe, and they're starting off on their adventure around the world.
So how does a book club work? It's a discussion group, basically, if I remember right.
Yes. You know, actually, I'm going to find out because I've never been part of a book club.
Ah, this is new then.
This is a new thing for me and for the museum. So, but I think we've chosen a really fun book to start with. Mm-hmm. I've done some traveling. I'm hoping, you know, the folks who come to the book club will have their own travel stories, and we'll get to talk about those.
So you're going to do this on today from 3 to 4:30 to start with?
Yes, at the museum. And it's free and open to anyone. You don't have to read the book. In fact, I'm assuming a lot of people who come today might not have read the book, but we'll talk about our travels, and then we're going to meet in November and then in December. So by December, I'm hoping we'll have finished the book and we'll have more to talk about.
So is this something you're thinking about doing on a more sustaining basis? See how this goes?
Yes, I am. I think it would be delightful to have another club along the way. I don't know what book we'll do next, but I'm sure lots of people will have some ideas about it.
Well, certainly you have, being a history museum, that genre is open.
Oh my gosh, there are so many to choose from. Oh yeah, the difficulty will be narrowing down our choices. Yeah, definitely.
But you're gonna have tea there. That's the key to all this here.
Tea and cookies. That's right.
So that'll be at 3 o'clock today, 3 to 4:30 at History Museum Hood River County down in Port Marina Park.
Yes, that will be where it's going to be held. And for more information, you can go to our website at hoodriverhistorymuseum.org and take a look there at information that we've got.
I see a note here. Bring your favorite cookie to share.
Yes, exactly. But you just told us that it was National. Well, it's
buy a donut day.
Yes. Yes, buy your own donut.
Yes, so there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go get some donuts and buy them.
Yes.
Also, though, there's kind of an attachment here. You guys are planning a cruise in July.
Yes. So this is our second one. We did a cruise to Alaska in 2024, and it was absolutely fabulous. And so I talked with our travel folks who are helping us arrange this, and they wanted to work with us again, and so we are having another cruise in 2026 to Alaska. We're doing a little bit of a different itinerary. On this trip, we're going to go to Alaska, get off the ship in Seward, have a three-day trip up to Denali, and then fly back. And the author of the book, Saving Andiamo, that we are reading this afternoon, is going with us, along with Blaine and Bethany Franger, that are here in the, not the Dalles. I live in the Dalles, here from Hood River.
And they're photographers, I believe.
Yes, both of them are professional photographers, and they have a gallery on Oak Street.
Which I would imagine, actually, when you think about taking a cruise to Alaska, that is fertile ground for photography.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So on this trip, we are going to have Cassie with us to do some writer's workshops with our group that's going, and then Blaine and Bethany are going to teach some photography workshops. And so it's all about, you know, that extra add on your trip. So learning something and enjoying the sights along the way.
Now, you said you're going to, it's going to be a cruise to, I think you said Seward, right?
Yes.
And then you're going to do a three-day trip to Denali and fly back.
Right.
So when do you get on the boat for this? Where do you go?
So we're leaving this, on this trip, we are leaving out of Vancouver, B.C.
Okay.
And so if you fly out of Portland up to B.C., then we're going to have a little day trip in B.C., in Vancouver, before we get on the ship. And then our stops are going to be, let's see, Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka. And then we'll go through Icy Straits and then north to Seward. And I love this because I grew up in Alaska.
Okay.
I grew up in Valdez. And until 2024, I had never taken a cruise to Alaska because I lived there.
Right.
So that was my first visit to southeastern Alaska. And so doing this again next year, I'm so excited to go back to my home state.
Well, also, you're going, you know, to go from Vancouver, B.C. You're going to do this in July, by the way, for those who are wondering.
And July can be, it can be great weather, it can be lousy weather. It's anyone's guess in Alaska.
But also the B.C. part of it, I mean, up, going up the coast is, I'm sure, is very nice.
Oh, it's going to be gorgeous. You know, it doesn't matter. In Alaska, Alaska's kind of like going to the Oregon coast, right? You go no matter what, and you, whatever the weather is, you just go with it. And if it's beautiful, then, oh my gosh, it's amazing.
So you'll take the boat up then from Vancouver, B.C. How long does it take by boat to take that trip?
So it's going to be a 7-day cruise.
Okay.
So you get on the boat late in the afternoon and you arrive at your destination early in the morning. So it's more like 6 days, you know, you take a half a day off in there. But we'll be a day in each port and then, you know, on the water a couple of days. And it's when we're at sea that we'll have these workshops for writing and for photography. And then we'll be doing stuff at the museum before we leave in order to give people a chance to maybe work on a little travel log before we go. And then people can bring their phones, and we'll have a workshop with Blaine and Bethany about how to use your phone and how to take a great photo using your phone.
Okay. So July 17th to 27th, though, is the trip next summer. And so if people are interested in taking this, this is a fundraiser, of course, at the History Museum, Hood River County.
Yes.
How do they do it?
So they would go to our website, hoodriverhistorymuseum.org, and we have a link there to all the information on how to register and how to contact our travel company that is sponsoring this. And they are very generously donating back a small portion of everyone's cruise registration as a fundraiser for the museum.
Of course, you've got the museum, of course, and its exhibits themselves, and you right now have an exhibit involving cranes.
Yes, our current exhibit is called Sadako and Paper Cranes. It tells the story of a young girl named Sadako, who grew up in Hiroshima. She was 2 years old when the bomb was dropped there, which was 80 years ago this year. And Sadako contracted leukemia as a result of exposure to the radiation. And so her school friends decided to cheer her up by bringing paper to the hospital so that they could fold paper cranes. Mm-hmm. And they folded 1,000 cranes before she passed away. And so at the museum, we opened the exhibit and we did a demonstration of origami, of the Japanese art of folding, and we taught folks how to make paper cranes. We had 2 more workshops. We had just over 50 people, somewhere between 50 and 60 people attended our workshops. And we are halfway to our goal of 1,000 cranes. We are going to send those cranes with our local Sister City group when they take students over to our Sister City, Tsuruta, Japan, mm-hmm. next summer.
Mm, okay.
And so that's our goal. We're halfway there, and so we still have, you know, several more months to make up the cranes. Mm-hmm. But if anyone's interested, we have paper available. You can come in and fold a crane and add to our exhibit there.
And so do you think, you told me you're halfway to your goal?
Yes.
You're trying to get to 1,000, right?
Yes.
And you're at 500?
Yes.
How hard is it to make a crane with paper?
A lot harder than you would think.
Okay. I that didn't necessarily sell it well, by the way. I just realized that. But I kind of, anything involving art and paper would be a disaster. So
has taken me. I am still working on my technique. I've managed to figure it out. I tried demonstrating it yesterday with some visitors, and I got stuck on, I think, the third stage, which is not a very. There's about 7 steps or so to go through this folding the paper, but it fascinates me that you can fold. You can fold one that's the size of your fingernail if you've got the dexterity to do it, or you can, you know, take a piece of newspaper and fold one, you know, that's even larger. So mm-hmm. it just all depends on your ability to keep folding the paper.
So that is going on, and that's through the end of the year, right? The museum?
Yes, we'll have that exhibit through the end of the year. And the other thing to say about that is that exhibit came directly from the Hiroshima Memorial Museum in Japan. It was created for, you know, an American or an English-speaking audience. Mm-hmm. We have it on loan from the Japanese-American Museum of Oregon that's located in Portland, and so it's a partnership with them. And we have several pieces of original artwork that accompany the exhibit that were commissioned by the Japanese-American Museum. Mm-hmm. So it's a great exhibit.
Also, we'll look ahead to the holidays. I hate looking ahead to the holidays at this point of the year, I admit, but I will do it I make exceptions for
the show. Oh, just roll with it. There you go.
I make exceptions. You have a holiday open house coming up as well in December.
We will have a holiday open house on Saturday, December 13th from 2 to 4 p.m. We have Harmony of the Gorge providing live music and a sing-along, and then we also have a holiday brass group that's going to be playing for us. So live music, and we will be serving, you know, cookies and hot cocoa and things that go along with a snowy Saturday afternoon.
So getting all the information, Hood River County History Museum website, which is
HoodRiverHistoryMuseum.org.
Okay. I got a little tickle in my throat, so all of a sudden I was not able to speak for a while.
Too much candy corn, I'll bet.
I can guarantee it wasn't that. Now, that is absolutely for sure. But I'm with Lewis Black on the candy corn thing, but that's okay. Everybody else can enjoy it. Lisa, thanks for doing this.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's always fun to be here.
So, again, the book club and tea at 3 o'clock today.
At 3 o'clock, Saving Now I've got the
tickle. Now you've got the tickle.
There we go. Saving Andiamo is the name of the book, and 3 o'clock this afternoon, bring your favorite cookie, and I'll provide the tea.
And, of course, check out the Alaska Cruise at the website.
At the Alaska Cruise, HoodRiverHistoryMuseum.org.
Lisa, thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Mark.
Lisa Commander, the History Museum, Hood River County. It is 8:23 in the morning. We'll come back. Got some news coming up for you. Going to talk in a few minutes, folks, from Mid-Columbia Community Action, the Mid-Columbia Houseless Collaborative. We'll do that after this.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
Hey, have you noticed all the new eye-catching business signs, banners, and logos all over the Gorge?
Rage Graphics with an X and design.
Get the word out!
Yeah, good, that's the point.
Rage Graphics and Design. For sign design, three-dimensional carved signs, banners, embroidery.
So the other day, I asked this guy, hey, are you staring at me? He said, no, I'm staring at your logo.
With Rage Graphics and Design, they'll stare at you, too.
217 East 3rd Street in the Dalles. Call 296-SIGN. Online at RageGraphicsWithAnX.com.
Get the word out.
We asked seniors how to prevent Medicare scams.
If you get a phone call, do not talk to the person.
Never give out your Medicare number.
They're going to get your number to put in a false claim.
Just hang up.
How do you detect Medicare fraud?
Just like I check my credit card statements, I check my Medicare statements monthly.
If you get your statement and you see something that you know you did not have done, you report it.
Call the Senior Medicare Patrol.
To report Medicare fraud, call 800-699-9043.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
In the morning on Mid-Columbia Today on a Thursday. We do remind you, of course, that, again, if you're listening in our Hood River area, football tonight. Hooter Valley hosting Park Rose, wrap up the season. It is a big game to A, make sure you get in the state playoffs. Eagles fairly solidly in there right now, but you want to make sure. And number two, a win tonight and the right combination of results tomorrow. I suspect HRV would get a home playoff game in round one, which is what they want to do. So we'll be on at 6:30 tonight from Henderson Stadium on what should be actually not too bad a night out there, it sounds like. Wind's supposed to lighten up, and I don't think we really have much of a chance of rain tonight. So hopefully get on out there. Again, Thursday night game tonight because of I think it's more because I believe Hood River County School District doesn't go to school tomorrow. If I remember right, they scheduled their in-service day for tomorrow on Halloween, which isn't a bad idea on a Halloween Friday, having been married to a retired teacher. I am married to a retired teacher. You know, Halloween can be a difficult day to keep students completely focused and engaged in their studies. So there is something to be said for if it's on a Friday. We both take this in-service anyway. Might not be a bad idea to do the in-service on that day and just make it work for everybody. So not bad planning on that one. But it means our football game is tonight. So we'll be on at 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock this evening. And, yeah, go out there. They got some good food out there. Yeah, actually, I did finally, as I digress slightly here, but why not? I've been saying all season, there is one of the food trucks they now have out at Henderson Stadium for football. It is ice cream. One, and they make milkshakes. I kept saying I was going to have a milkshake. Finally, at halftime last week, I got downstairs while our halftime interview was airing, and I got my milkshake, and it was really good. I say the trailer is Frosty Peaks or something like that, but I highly recommend it. It was delicious. I like my milkshakes. I do. I'm a milkshake guy. So anyway, if you're going to the game tonight, one of my recommendations. You know, stop by the Lions Club trailer, get your hot dog, popcorn, whatever else you want to have. They got food out there. You don't have to worry, but you will not starve going to an Eagle football game these days. That's for sure. Anyway, I probably should do the news. So let's get to it. The City of the Dalles hosts an informational meeting on Thursday night on upcoming downtown projects. That's tonight. Among the projects to be discussed are the Federal Street Plaza, West Side Interceptor Phase 2, and First Street Streetscaping. City officials will talk about impacts on traffic, parking, and timelines, and inform business and property owners, residents, and visitors about project progress. Mayor Rich May is expecting minimal impacts on the majority of downtown on 2nd and 3rd Streets. Most of the work focused on 1st Street between Union and Laughlin. The meeting at 5:30 today in the Dalles City Hall. You can watch it online at thedalles.org. Just 3 days before the federal government is set to freeze monthly food assistance to 757,000 Oregonians, Governor Tina Kotek announced she'll send $5 million in state money to food banks to soften the blow. Kotek joins the governors of at least 12 other mostly Democrat-led states, including Washington and California, in diverting millions in state money to backfill the lost federal funding of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program starting Saturday. About 1 in 6 Oregonians and 1 in 8 Americans rely on the program, commonly referred to as food stamps, to stave off hunger. Each month, Oregonians typically receive about $142 million in federally funded SNAP benefits. In her announcement, Kotek blamed the Republican-controlled Congress for the federal government shutdown that began on October 1st and will soon prevent money from reaching those who, she says, desperately need it. The city of Portland said in court that President Trump's bid to send in the National Guard was spurred by a manufactured crisis as the trial over Trump's efforts to deploy the military on U.S. soil gets underway. Caroline Turco, a lawyer representing Portland, said during opening arguments the evidence would show the city does not need the National Guard. She said the judge must decide if the administration has been so impeded in its efforts to enforce immigration law that Trump should be allowed to, quote, breach separation of powers to address the manufactured crisis. Department of Justice lawyer Eric Hamilton contended DHS employees who work in Oregon have faced threats and actual violence for months and could not contain the threat themselves, prompting their request for additional assistance. Hamilton also contended, to side with the government, the judge does not need to find there was a true inability to execute the law or any actual danger of rebellion. Scott Kennedy, Oregon's senior assistant attorney general, said in the state's opening remarks, the case marks a test of the outer bounds of presidential authority. The trial expected to last for 3 days. The Oregon Public Utility Commission has approved a rate increase for Northwest Natural that goes into effect tomorrow, but the increase won't be for as much as the utility requested. The result of the reduced general rate increase and other annual filings means monthly bills for Northwest Natural of a typical residential customer in Oregon expected to increase by $4.38, or 5.4%, for a new monthly bill of about $85.95. The amount rates, of course, will increase for each customer, varying depending on customer type and energy usage. Well, our weather forecast for today, it's calling for cloudy skies for the most part today. Look for the highs to be in the lower 50s. And the winds, east winds can be strong west of Hood River, particularly early in the day, but they are expected to back off by the time we get to the evening. Currently, it's 42 degrees in Stevenson, 36 in the Dalles, 38 in Hood River, and it is now 8:33 in the morning on Mid-Columbia today.
Farmers, growers, anyone involved in the ag or orchard industry need to come to the 25th annual Willamette Valley Ag Expo, November 11th through the 13th in Albany. This is the largest ag exposition in the Pacific Northwest, with over 175 vendors offering the latest innovations in equipment, cost-saving ideas for your farm, ranch, orchard, or hobby farm. It's produced by the Willamette Valley Ag Expo Board, a nonprofit with a vested interest in your success. There's daily seminars and classes, including core credit pesticide training. Wednesday is FFA Day, and all 3 days, Oregon Farm Bureau members get in free. And bring your family Wednesday night for the expanded Oregon Diner Round that sells out each year. Ag Expo admission is just $5 and includes a $2 discount on the great featured lunch each day. The 25th annual Willamette Valley Ag Expo at the Linn County Fair and Expo Center, just off I-5 at exit 234 in Albany. Show hours are Tuesday 9 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 8:30, Thursday 10 to 4. Parking's free. More information online at wvaexpo.com.
The holidays are coming, and at Shady Smith Jewelers, we're making it easier than ever to make them sparkle. Use our holiday layaway plan, where you can pick the perfect gift now, pay over time, and have it ready right before Christmas. Whether it's timeless diamond jewelry, a gold bracelet, or something custom made, start today stress-free. Visit JD Smith Jewelers, 121 East 2nd Street, downtown The Dalles, or shop online at jdsmithjewelers.com. J.D. Smith Jewelers, where your holiday magic begins early.
Did you know Skyline Health in White Salmon has its very own sports medicine doc superstar? That's right. Dr. Ryan Petering trained at OHSU, cared for professional Nike athletes, and even spent more than 15 years teaching other doctors how it's done. From sporting injuries to arthritis, he's here to help you move better, feel stronger, and keep doing the things you love. Want to live life to its fullest? Step right up and visit myskylinehealth.org. Skyline Health, world-class care right here at home.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we welcome you back. It's 8:34 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're going to have you with us in the studio from Mid-Columbia Community Action. Sarah Kelms and Miriam Sterrett are with us. Good morning to both of you ladies.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. And we're going to talk about here to start with a documentary you're going to show next week, next Thursday at the Granada Theater in the Dalles, and it is called No Place to Grow Old. And there is a point to this, obviously, so for either one of you, Miriam, tell us about what this is like.
Yeah, so this documentary is based in Portland, but we really see that the experiences showed in the documentary also reflect experiences we're witnessing in the Gorge. There is a crisis of older adults aging into houselessness, and with the support of Greater Oregon Behavioral Health and the Granada, MCAC, and the Houseless Collaborative are bringing it to the Gorge to raise awareness about watching our elders aging into houselessness and their experiences.
Sarah, you of course have been involved in shelter services, Hood River Shelter Services for Mid-Columbia Community Action. So when we talk about this with regard to older adults, do we see this a lot in this area where older adults can't afford to stay where they've been?
We do, and it's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. We're seeing it not only in our own programs. For example, at the Annex in the past year and a half, we've witnessed an increase over that period of people over the age of 60 who have been evicted and need shelter services. But I'm also hearing it from our food bank partners, both at Fish and then at Columbia Gorge Food Bank and the pantries across the region. There are more and more older adults who are struggling to meet their monthly bills and are seeking services across the array.
Across the board. So, in this movie, I mean, have either of you had a chance to really see it yet? At this point, are you guys still...
We have not yet seen the movie. Okay. However, our co-host, Kai Burgess-Nichols from Greater Oregon Behavioral Health, she has, and she was the lead sponsor for this project.
So, I mean, I was just wondering, does this kind of follow somebody along, or is more of a general overview of what the issue is?
There will be some stories of individuals highlighted in the film, and then we are partnering the No Place to Grow Old documentary with our own short film that tells the true story of an individual from this region, and that's going to be the first screening of our own short film.
I did not realize you guys had made a film.
Yeah, we work closely with the Houseless Collaborative and the Lived Experience Work Group, which is members of the collaborative that have lived experience of homelessness to produce short films that focus on stories in the Gorge, specifically around the experience of houselessness in our region and how also the different services in the area are serving people.
Mm-hmm. So we have to date three short films. They're 3 to 5 minutes each. So just really short snapshots that show people's experience of houselessness and then the services that have supported them to change their experience.
With older adults, and I guess I assume we're defining that like in the 65 and up range, not necessarily knowing this, but with older adults, is the problem a little different than what we normally experience with houselessness? I mean, are there differences, say, when you're dealing from, you know, you're dealing with somebody maybe 25, 30 years old and the older adult. Is there a difference?
I think that your question highlights that people's stories are unique across the age ranges. With older adults, yes, they are a different set of experiences. It can be a combination of medical crisis, a limited and stable monthly income that doesn't meet their expenses, and then sometimes a lack of family support. Mm-hmm. So others in their family may be struggling and unable to financially help them.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to do this on November 6th, 6:30 in the evening, and you mentioned the two films actually you're going to show. You're going to show them a documentary and then one of your own films. I think there's a little bit more to it than that, isn't there? I mean, I think you guys are going to do some things around this, right, Miriam?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are also inviting, the event is free. We're inviting people to bring food donations for the annex. We are also going to be hosting a discussion before the film. So members of the Lived Experience Work Group, potentially a client living at the annex, and other service providers in the region will be participating in a moderated discussion hosted by Kai before the film to really help the community understand the resources available and how we as a whole community can think creatively to serve our elders and find housing solutions.
Mm-hmm. And we're grateful to Chuck from the Granada for hosting this event, and he's also providing chili. So there will be a free dinner for those who attend.
It's the first 150, I see. I probably should mention that.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, make sure on that. 6:30 Thursday evening of next week at the Granada Theater in the Dalles. This actually is coming. I don't know if this was planned or coincidental, but you're doing your housing stabilization summit at the exact same time, or I guess in the daytime before, obviously. Was that planned, or was that just how it worked out?
Yeah, that was very intentional. So,
okay.
Yeah, the Houseless Collaborative Housing Stabilization Summit is a full-day event for service providers, community members, to come together, experience trainings, networking, and also share space to really figure out how we can work together to end houselessness in our region. And then we added this evening event for the broader community. We really wanted to make an accessible space for people to both see the documentary, for landlords who have questions about how to be engaged in this solution, to join us and learn more about the work in a evening time space that's a little more casual.
Now, the Mid-Columbia Houseless Collaborative, I just realized we really didn't define what that is. We've referred to it now a couple times. I know Community Action's involved in it, but what is the Houseless Collaborative overall?
Yes, the Houseless Collaborative is a collaborative effort that spans our five-county region of Klickitat and Skamania counties on the Washington side of the river, and then Hood River, Wasco, and Sherman counties on the Oregon side. It is a collection of over 40 social service and health agencies, along with individual community members and government partners that are together working to prevent and end houselessness. Mm-hmm. We have a five-year strategic plan that we're in the middle of, and we're excited that many of the goals are coming to...
See, how long has it been going now? This collaborative?
Since it was formed in 2021, and we formalized our efforts in 2022.
I'm trying to recall. I seem to recall getting, I get five-year, 10-year plans all the time from people. I seem to recall about a five-year plan or so. That was about 2022, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So how are we doing, Sarah? I mean, how are we doing on this?
I would say, obviously, the challenge of homelessness is very complex, and we have made significant progress on the goals and actions outlined in our strategic plan, ranging from opening a navigation center in the Dalles, the Gloria Center, to securing full funding for the Mariposa Village here in Hood River, and renovating Ryan Village to preserve existing affordable housing in White Salmon, along with increasing and coordinating services and ensuring that shelter is provided across our service area.
So the summit in the morning and afternoon, again, it's a little more of a targeted audience, I would assume, for this. But what do you hope to cover during the summit? What do you plan to talk about?
Yeah, the goal is... Well, I think the number one goal is community space for people to be together. It's rare that all these different service providers and community members get to share space together and know each other face to face. We share a lot of emails, but being physically together really adds an important element to our work and how we better serve clients in the region. But also we offer training. So this year we're having presenters from the Hood River Latino Network, the Native Wellness Institute, Pulse Wellness Cooperative is doing a trauma-informed care training. Rose City Nonviolent Communication is doing a training. And then the Housing Development Center will be sharing about affordable housing and barriers to affordable housing. We also are focusing on some local presenters. So there's a really great work group from the Houseless Collaborative that's been working together to work on care coordination for clients, better serve them across agencies instead of sending people in circles to different agencies. And then there is also a day in the life event. So really helping people understand what the experience of someone on living on the streets is and the different pieces and the different unique experiences that people have when they're trying to move out of houselessness.
And so, again, that's going to be on Friday from 8 to 4 at the Civic in the Dalles before you do the big community screening of the film there. It's at 6:30 in the evening at the Granada on Thursday evening of next week. By the way, who did the documentary? I think this is a group called Humans for Housing, right?
Yes. This is our first experience working with them. And I think I don't have a lot of background to share about them.
Okay.
But we're really excited to bring this film to our community.
Now, we should also note with this, when you go to the movie next week, you are taking donations of food, I believe, for the annex, the transitional housing operation that's been, I guess a year and a half now or so?
Yeah, we just celebrated our two-year anniversary of the annex.
But time goes really quick.
It seems like
it just opened, to be honest. But if the people attend, you are taking donations for food for the folks who live there.
We are, and we think at this time donations of food are even more gratefully appreciated than typical. With the SNAP benefits running out, we know that our food banks will be under increased pressure, and so we're hoping to stock our on-site food pantry at the annex in preparation for that.
Mira?
Yeah, and I'll just add that clients at the annex have microwaves and or air fryers, so we ask that things are both shelf-stable and microwavable meals, as well as canned food. There's freezers, so people can freeze or refrigerate food, but shelf-stable is best to get people through the season.
But again, Miriam, the details one more time on the movie. You're going to be doing that next Thursday evening.
Yeah, so next Thursday evening at the Granada Theater on Thursday, November 6th at 6:30, we will be hosting a free community screening of No Place to Grow Old. We will be hosting free dinner for the first 150 people. There will be a community discussion with members of the Houseless Collaborative, a client, and members of the Lived Experience Work Group, followed by the showing of the film No Place to Grow Old and the Mid-Columbia Houseless Collaborative's very own short film as well.
So again, 6:30 Thursday evening at the Granada Theater in the Dalles. And I should ask here real quick, because Sarah, you're involved in this. I know you'll probably have a good answer for me, which is shelter in Hood River. What are the plans for this year?
Yes, we are in active preparation to open the Hood River shelter. Our shelter manager is currently hiring for shelter staff, and that is really what we need to open the shelter in mid-November. So if anyone out there listening is interested in learning more about working with our shelter programs this winter, please visit our website, mccac.com, and you'll see right on the top banner more information about working at the Hood River Shelter.
You're going to be in the same location this year, aren't you?
Yes, the shelter is located at 1733 Oak Street, and it's a great location for access to services. We have a well-established program there, and we're grateful for that location.
And I'm sure we'll learn more here as we get, unfortunately, to the colder weather that we're starting to get to already, I guess. But are you targeting a date at this point to open, or is it just depending on when you get it staffed?
We are planning to open mid-November, and just as soon as we have staff hired, we'll be ready to announce our opening date.
Okay. So, Sarah, Miriam, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
8:48 in the morning. We'll come back and talk about a couple things right after this.